I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you want to ensure business continuity, maximize your business potential, cater to your customers' needs and concerns, and boost your digital presence? Staying on top of everything doesn't come easy. That's why I want to introduce you guys to Vessel PH, to help boost your business's digital presence and make it relevant to your customers' ever-evolving needs. Vessel PH has built-in tools and features that make online selling a breeze. Customize your online store to make it stand out in the crowded digital space. Integrate your existing digital store to other systems, or onboard your e-commerce website to GCash's marketplace, GLife, all with the help of experts. Vessel PH also provides account managers to assist and guide you with your needs and affordable SaaS for cost savings and customization. All your e-commerce needs are now in one place. Your business deserves this kind of freedom. Let Vessel PH help you. Check them out at vessel.ph or click the link in my description.
Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
One of, I think, three lessons would be resourceful, be creative, and appreciate your education and your skills. And probably number two would be don't easily give up. As I've said, if I just got sad when I got things on, there's not going to be parlance here now. And probably last would be delayed gratification. Of course, it's not always instant to win. It's not like an instant hit for an app or a website or for any business, right? So you learn and scale and probably be humble enough to acknowledge learning and probably just rise up again and apply that learning for the next day.
I actually really found what I'm made of because it's really, really a rough ride. Entrepreneurship, there's a lot of weight you're carrying just because, you know, there's a lot of factors, there's a lot of stakeholders. I realized that, you know, what's hard 5 years ago, it's harder down there. It's always harder. Like it will just really, really make you stronger all the time. So what I'm gonna say is, I guess, ano, kapit lang, you know, fight it. You're gonna really know what you're made of. Just keep pushing. The other thing is, I do not want to discount the presence of opportunity. I don't want to say luck, but I guess a good opportunity coming your way, and actually making the most out of that opportunity.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning to wherever you are watching from here in the Philippines and from all over the world. And welcome to the RJ Ledesma podcast. In my podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs with the hope of learning about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those success secrets? And how have they innovated or pivoted their businesses during this pandemic? And more importantly, what opportunities do they see emerging in the now normal? And how can all of us benefit from those opportunities? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. Let's share his knowledge. Just drop me a message. We are also live right now on Kumu, CBRC TV, Global Pinas TV, and the Bounce Back Network. If you are enjoying my podcast and you are learning a lot from it, please subscribe and invite more friends to listen to the RJ Ledesma podcast. You can also catch us live on YouTube. Now, before we begin with the podcast, here's a quick shout out to our friends at Vessel. Vessel PH can help you future-proof your business by boosting your digital presence and making sure that you can attract more customers and more sales. If you want to learn more about them, just click the link on my description. Moving on very quickly, very excited about our co-founders here tonight. for a business that I understand is almost recession-proof and maybe even pandemic-proof, and that's the business of salons. Now, tonight I'm going to have the founders of Parlon. That is the Philippines' go-to platform for beauty and wellness services. Parlon helps people discover, book, and buy the best salon and wellness deals online and is the only platform in the Philippines that has over 80-plus global and homegrown salons and wellness brands. To name a few, and some have had them here in the show, Bro House is here, Strip Emphasis Salon, The Smile Bar, Benefit Bro Bar, Lay Bear Basement Salon, Astro Urban Salon, and many more. And they've even partnered up with several super apps like Grab, GCash, and Reserve with Google to promote their services on Parlon. So tonight, I want to welcome Christine Ongkanko and Miko Cornejo. Christine, Miko, welcome to the show.
Hi. Good evening. Thanks for having us.
Hi. Good evening.
Guys, thanks so much for joining me over here. And right before we start, for all those who enjoy getting a pamper treatment in their favorite salon or spa, you know what? Before we begin the program, Claire actually has a great promo for everybody listening to the show. Claire, can you tell a bit more about the promo before we start?
Yes, yeah, so we have a promo code. It's RJ Ledesma Podcast 200. So you get 200 pesos off minimum spend of 1.5. Now until Mother's Day, May 8th. So just go to deals.parlon.ph and definitely you will be able to buy the best and exclusive salon and wellness deals in the country.
Okay, let's leave it there muna. I want to put it back, Clark. Put it back. I want people to know more. Okay, so again, RJ Ledesma Podcast, 200, 200 pesos off for a minimum spend of 1,500 today until May 8th. Visit deals.parlon.ph. Can you mention just a couple of the parlors that are going to be there or the salons that are participating? I know I mentioned some earlier at the introduction, but can you mention a couple of more?
Yes, we have great deals from Asta, Leibe, Asta, Bra House, Strip, Perfect for Summer, Emphasis Salon, a lot more. Buff Nail Lounge, yes, Benny Bana, yes, a lot. Hair Color, Lashes, The Secret Lounge. So for all your beauty needs, lashes, brows, hair removal, beauty treatments for O2 Skin Lab. So we're somehow nationwide. We have some in Bacolod, Wax Cobado. For Cebu, we have Kyrie Skin Clinic. And for Pampanga and Pangasinan. So,
Yes. I can see Miko's enjoying Bro House right now services.
So actually, there's manpering in the secret lounge that's targeted.
Manpering, I like that. What happens in manpering?
Manny, Betty, just search for manpering in the DLCS. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Question lang. So, have you gone to Lay Bear just yet, Miko Cornejo, and tried their services for men?
Not yet, but I plan to try all of the things I need to try.
Very good, very good. You know, I just as an aside before. I used to write a column for the Philippine Star. Mm-hmm. And I actually did the full treatment where they were waxing at the most interesting parts of the body. And I wrote about it in 2-part articles.
Lay Bear.
Needless to say, my mom was not happy.
Lay Bear.
Yeah. Yes. I think one of them. Yeah.
Lay Bear, by the way,
my mom was not too happy.
Wow. Lay Bear actually.
I wrote about it. Good.
Actually, Lay Bear just launched with us a very innovative campaign. So only threading, only underarm waxing for a monthly fee. And or a yearly fee. So that's something new in the country. So a subscription for monthly or yearly and you get to only stuff, even passion nails for nails. So that's a new one. We just launched it like last week. So you can buy that through Parlon.
Oh, fantastic. And this is the great news, guys. If you're listening right now to this show, let's check it out. Of this partnership, let's show them here right now. Miko, you show here Parlon.ph for membership, Lay Bear. They're only.
Yes.
Only membership or only treatments
over
there.
Yes.
And here's an interesting thing about Parlon, guys. So again, I would say that Parlon is the go-to discovery platform for beauty and wellness. And I'm very happy to share that they actually won first place against 9 women-led startups in the local She Loves Tech competition, which is the world's largest startup competition for women in technology. And as I was looking at the panel of who judged them, one of them there was actually Katrina Chan, who we've had here on the show. Our good friends from Cubo were there and judging the show. I want to ask you guys, how does it feel? Claire, that's not easy. That's a lot of competitors. And how do you think you stood out over there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, it was our first time joining a competition. And yes, our judges, Ms. Katrina Chad, and we love how they support Philippine startups. So that's how we felt the love from the Philippines, DTI, Cubo. It was also a proud moment to represent the Philippines and in the world stage, right? So an uplift, of course, an industry that was hard hit by the pandemic. And though it was not face-to-face unlike the past years, they went to Beijing, China. I learned a lot. It was so enriching, fun, and we get to network with fellow founders, not just in Southeast Asia, but around the world. And She Loves Tech, the community itself, is so helpful for women entrepreneurs.
Fantastic. I'm going to go to Miko a bit, our honorary woman over here, Miko. No? I mean, I'm sure you worked together with Claire when they were pitching this program, when you were working through this whole project, I guess, no? Am I right, Miko?
Yeah.
Can I just ask, I know that I'm sure you were being mentored, and there are a lot of lessons that you probably gained. I mean, not just, you know, of course you're being mentored over here, there's both the soft skills, the hard skills about being in a startup. No? What did you pick up basically? What were the learnings that you got as you were being mentored through the process that you want to share also with other people going through the startup process?
Yeah, this is actually a long conversation. I tried to get it down to the actual details. So my background is actually tech. So in tech, you don't really need to talk. So it's a really new experience for me to actually meet, you know, from the outside, because usually tech people are, you know, I mean, not to box them, but tech people are usually behind the computers. And I actually saw Claire even before actually pitching this to all of the salons, all of her salons that actually she's close to first. Obviously, I think she started with the salons that she actually really goes to. And then that's where she got the idea. I mean, you know, that's where we formed the idea of actually what to build. So I guess with any startup or any platform that we want to build, and I don't want to be super technical, is we have to know exactly first the market. We actually also have to know the pain points of everyone. We didn't dive into this, like go into code right away. Although, you know, as a program, we want to do that. It's always like, wait, what's the problem first that we're trying to solve? And then is the problem that we're trying to solve really relevant to the actual people that we're talking to? And I guess the industry is really ripe for digitalization. That's what I learned. There's a lot of things, and Claire can actually expound on this. There's a lot of things that we're so used to at the tip of our fingertips, but with regards to beauty and wellness, there's actually not that much. Even then, we always say, like, how do you actually make an appointment, or actually how do you find even how much services are? It's so easy with food. It's so easy even with more complex industries like airlines, right? Hotels. But with the beauty industry, it's just, I think nagpagupit ako last ganyan, and then that's the price pa rin, no? I mean, it's always like that. There's these outdated prices. You search for them in Google, you're not really sure. And you know, it's very outdated. So I guess that's the pain point that we wanted to drive. We didn't want to come in full swing with all of the bells and whistles. We just wanted to solve a really simple one to start with, which is a central source of truth for all beauty and wellness, I guess, services. And then that grew into, okay, now that, you know, we got them, there's booking, there's deals, all of that stuff. So If I may summarize everything, it's just that the industry is really ripe for digitalization, and there's a lot more innovation that we can actually introduce.
Okay. And what it also tells me, as somebody in that startup community, is that it's not always about disruption. It's also about digitalization and centralization that can be done through digitalization, because we're always talking about, when you talk about especially things like NFTs, it's decentralized finance. But here, actually, this is about centralization of what you can do in terms of services and digitalizing them, so you know, more people have access to it, no? And having said that, Claire, I want to go back a bit. And, you know, you were in She Leads Tech competition. Like you said, you were against 9 other founders. I'm sure they were also very, very good. But what do you think made you stand out in particular in comparison to your other fellow female startup leaders?
I think number one is the very clear point that we are addressing. As Miko mentioned, I started this because I got frustrated. I just want to know how much hair color in this salon or like the telephone number or just contact information. It was so hard. And I got frustrated, right? Because we can book hotels, book food instantly through our mobile phones, and shop beauty and wellness products. Shopee, Beauty MNL, Hair MNL, Sephora, instantly we can shop there. But how about services? You know, we made a survey. How do you book your favorite appointments? Pre-pilot. Most answered through landline numbers, not even mobile numbers. So I think that's the number one point. And I think that you, Ms. Katrina Chan, they saw how when we presented, we saw the massive reach to the B2B market. We had, as you mentioned earlier, we're the only platform to be able to gather all these brands. And I did it myself, that first 80. Now we have BDs already. And it was so hard. It's not an easy task to onboard those salons.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I want to talk about that a bit later on when we get into the nitty-gritty of actually building. Start. Because I like this. It's interesting because it's not a kind of startup where you just say, okay, it's a great idea. You actually had to do, you did the foot soldier work. You were like doing the marine work. You're out there and actually soliciting and onboarding them into the app. No, really great story. Now, after you did the She Loves Tech over here, you actually had to participate in a more global forum or a more global competition. Is that right? Or regional one?
Yes, Claire, global. Yes.
I'm sure that there was a lot of learning in that global one where you could see sort of like the opportunity and the gaps for female startups and I guess even Philippine startups. What did you see? What insight did you gain now when you went to the larger picture? That I'm interested also to find out. What did you see? where can we still go? But where can you see that, you know, there were points of bright spots for Philippine startups, especially female-led startups.
Yes, for female-led startups. So we're here now for beauty and wellness. I think there are missing pieces still for like circular economy, like sustainable fashion. So there are some upcoming already. So there are different aspects like for renting, for fashion, and other circular economy, for sustainability. And for She Loves Tech, we widely talked about the bias against women, like. But I'm proud that, you know, in the Philippines, there are a lot of women founders already and receiving good funding. So, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
That's a great idea. And Claire, I hope you don't mind. Sometimes we just have to laymanize or make people familiar with certain terms. What do you mean by circular economy?
Yeah. So, you know, now the trend now is sustainability. So I think for me, like I'm also teaching in Ateneo. So like yesterday we're exploring what are other gaps. You know, we have good food apps already, right? Now we have Parlon for beauty. Of course, we have Grab Super app for almost everything. But how about the circular economy means for sustainability, renting out clothes, like renting out laptops for B2B markets, renting out probably music equipment or sport equipment, like those circular thing, instead of buying a new one, why not rent something? So that's how we studied, like, what are other gaps in the Philippines? So far, Philippines has been great in digitalization, but there's still some gaps, like having those kinds of apps in this world.
And Nico, I want to go to you for a moment. I hope you don't mind, because, you know, I really like how She Loves Tech is encouraging, you know, female startup entrepreneurs, empowering them, because I want to come to a day that it doesn't really matter if you're male or female, you're a startup founder, and you know, that's a great thing, right? I mean, the other day I was talking to my daughter and she was saying, how come sometimes, dad, you know, they always make girls last in certain, you know, why do they always afterthought that girls could also be there? Sabi ko, that shouldn't be the case, anak, and I want that when you're older, you know, You are there because you're good, diba? You did a great job. For you, what kind of opened your mind? I hope you don't mind me asking, both from a tech standpoint and participating in startup from a startup standpoint, what did you see differently after participating together with Claire in all these startup events, especially when I talked about female-led startups?
Right. I think number one, before we start, I think I don't have that distinction. Plus, maybe also the privilege of being a guy. But I guess I don't have the distinction that, oh, because it's women, it's like that. I guess what I saw with She Loves Tech is, regardless of their gender, is that there's a lot of actually really, really good ideas and actually really more advanced ideas out there. So it didn't really, you know, the she in the She Loves Tech actually is like not even secondary or tertiary. It's actually the last of my mind, because when I was actually listening to the pitches, I was actually listening to the mentors. It's all about Loves Tech for me, because everyone is there is actually good. It's, they just happen to be women. So actually we've had participants, or actually we went again participants in other countries who actually won in their countries, and that we also met these people. We were also able to actually, you know, talk to them in workshops, talk to them and hear their stories. The tech in, not just in Asia, even in the West, like the tech is really, I would say, advanced. What I mean by that is we're trying to digitalize something that's, you know, a salon industry. In the other countries, they're actually talking about med tech, you know, some high-end technical devices. They're also talking about, like, you know, plastic turning into something. That's the extent of, you know, the tech that we're seeing overseas. And it's very nice to actually be, you know, a part of that event, as well as actually another thing going back to Parlan, because I want to circle it back down to Parlan, is what we wanted to know is, because we're actually automating something that we think, that was my assumption. I mean, Claire may have another idea, but, you know, that we think has been automated in other areas. Like, obviously, I think in the US, I think you can book online, you know, in other regions like that. We were thinking that this may be something that they would view as a small market. But apparently, when we talk to, you know, the other investors, mm-hmm. the other people, they're saying it's something that other, at least regional countries also need, because it's not as sophisticated as what we envisioned. Like, we were thinking, probably Singapore won't need this solution. Probably, you know, but once we got there, it's like, oh, okay. So it's actually, we can actually get the regional.
I see it more like, it's not that it's advanced, but it was overlooked. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. It's more like it was overlooked because people didn't see, and unless you mine it, you won't see the gold that's over there. Unless you, oh, this is how big pala the market actually is. One more thing before we move on, no? What was, I guess, both to Claire and Miko, what did you see? I mean, you got to meet all the winners from the different countries. Did you see any common denominators with regard to the startups, from the character of the startup, character of the people, the problems that they were trying to solve? What did you find anything? What insight did you gain from talking to everybody else and saying, you know what? I learned something about this person or this startup and about startup or tech in general. Claire, what did you pick up from participating there?
I think as winners, our commonality would be there's no option to fail. We're going to do this. you know, no matter how hard it is, like, for example, Parlan will not even be here if I gave up, like, being seen zone when I reach out to Instagram. Oh, would you like to be part of Parlan? So I saw that in all the girls in She Loves Tech. No option to fail. And at the same time, being passionate with the pain points. And it's not just a pa-cute tech, like, okay, this is a cool tech, but always, it's so common, all the winners there. There's an impact, and at the same time, a specific pain point that they are addressing.
Great. Miko, what did you pick up from everything?
They're all go-getters. They know what they want. They know there's a lot of work to achieve that, and they can actually articulate every you know, their mission and their goals. Everyone is actually really, like, hardworking is an understatement.
Wow. So much learning a lot from you guys here right now. And also those people who are interested in actually downloading the Parlan app. Clark, let's just show them where you can download that on the Apple Play Store and the Google Play Store. Is that right? So this is for the Apple Play Store. So anyway, if you're just listening to us, just go to Apple. You can find Parlan, P-A-R-L-O-N. And also on the Google Play Store. We're also available there in the Google Play Store. Just look for Parlan over there and check it out. Over 80 plus parlors and salons that are there. So, Claire and Miko, you actually had to pitch this. And, you know, we often tell people, okay, if you're going to give the pitch, why don't you give the pitch here right now so people know just what it's like to give a pitch about their new concept or their new startup. Claire, please go ahead. How did you pitch Parlan initially?
Mm-hmm. So you might wonder, why is it called Parlan? You might know, RJ, do you know why is it Parlan? Parlor.
No, that's okay. I like.
So parlor, it's actually a combination of parlor and salon. So it's a mix of parlor and salon. I feel that parlor, most of our moms probably they call it parlor. And now actually they call it more lounge, beauty hub. But in our generation, like salon, no? But I want to immortalize parlor, the word parlor. So it's this parlon. So why did we start this? So what is parlon? So for the consumers, it's a place where we help you discover, book, and buy the best and some, mostly exclusive salon and wellness deals online. So for the salon side, we help them in their operations for the booking side. So being a marketplace is already an understatement because we're actually creating an ecosystem where we connect also with the super apps in the Philippines and in the world, like Grab. GCash soon will launch that. So most of our partners will have their own GLife app inside. For Grab, we partner that. That's first in Southeast Asia for the home service. And also, we're the first Philippine company to partner with Reserve with Google. So all of those, this will be integrated to Parlon Merchant Hub. So let's say the consumer will book through Google, through Grab, through GLife, and of course, in our app, in our website, they will all go in to the Parlon Merchant Partner Hub.
Wow. And then, if you were to explain this to, let's say, my mom likes going to parlors, right? How do I sort of laymanize it for her, and how can she appreciate the app? Because especially that she is not, as you know, how tech she is, how savvy she is in tech, that she asked me to make the Facebook posts for her. I mean, that's how savvy she is. Now, how do we sort of explain that Parlon to them?
Well, mom, just go to Parlon.
Yeah,
just go to Parlon, and you'll get to buy the best deals in the Philippines.
Yeah. I think so we're targeting actually two types of, obviously the B2B, which is the salons. And I think that's what Claire more or less explained. There's a lot of benefits of salons being onboarded to Parlon because they can actually have an ecosystem. They have booking, they can buy. But for the consumers, for me, the actual selling point of Parlon is really deals. That's it. It's like you're going to a deal site, you're buying something for cheaper and more exclusive price. And if you want to discover new deals, you can just go to Parlon.ph, the deals at Parlon.ph. So two things from a consumer standpoint is I know that I want a haircut and I'll just look for deals there. Or I think I need to pamper myself. I don't know exactly what I want to buy, but I'll just go to Parlon and look for deals there. And it's quite the analysis paralysis because there's a lot of things that you can actually buy. So if you're into wellness, mahahirapan ka. But yeah, that's the point.
Okay, so yeah, so now I'm getting a much better appreciation. It's actually a business to business app. It's also a business to consumer app, and your business to business is working together with all the salons, and of course B2C is working to get clients for the salons, right? So, what is the business model when it comes to Parlon? To my mind, is it a subscription as a service model where basically any of the parlors which come on the app have to pay on a monthly basis, or are you getting a commission based from each of the transactions that are being done over here? Please share with us a bit more. Of course, no need to give away trade secrets, but just the basic understanding so people understand, so this is how you put together an app and how you make money with it.
Yes. So there's a subscription fee, but throughout the pandemic, we didn't charge yet. We're waiving the fee for the next month, but we also get a commission for every deal sold. So that's the basic business model. Yeah, both.
So basically, it's a B2B software as a service model or SaaS model for the B2B plus commission that you get for every commission that you make over here. Yeah. So that's really how the market is growing for you guys over here. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Now let's take a step back now, and you know a bit earlier on, you were sharing with us really the pain points, and that's really where we start talking about things about. What is the problem that you were trying to solve? The most basic question which you get when you do all the when you pitch in any competition. Can you help me give us a better idea? Because you know some people might, you know, it's an overlooked industry because people go, you know, why parlors, diba? But then help us understand right now just how big the potential is for the parlor market or the parlor plus salon market here in the Philippines. How big is it? How many parlors are there? How many people use it? And that's why you see that there's a large potential in this industry.
There are 38,803 salons in the Philippines. So that's how big the market is. Actually, that was last year. Sadly, 2019, actually, there were 40,000 plus. In that beautiful industry, they're employing, now it's just 140,000. Hopefully next year, they're covered. Previous years, pre-pandemic, it was actually employing 150,000 employees. So this is really a good industry for the Philippines.
Wow. And aside from that one, like in terms of the customer base, tell me, would you know a bit more about that, Nico or Claire? How many people go to salons? How often do they go to salons?
Yes. So salon is really, though it was badly tagged as not essential during the pandemic, but mostly believe it's actually essential. So it's a huge market in terms of beauty and personal care market size. Do you know that Philippines is actually third in Southeast Asia in terms of market size for beauty, and 21st in the world. And in terms of e-commerce, we all know that e-commerce during pandemic experienced double growth, like 132%, I think, year-on-year growth from 2019 to 2020. And I think the half of 2021 itself, it overpowered the past years for e-commerce. So this is the really perfect time to do e-commerce. And the untapped market, which is the beauty and wellness services, it's the gap. So we entered here.
Wow. So I want to say hi to Boss Wiry Estosi watching us. Thanks so much, Boss Wiry, for watching us. He part of my group called Philippine Homes. Thanks for watching, Boss. We see that there's a big size for the market and you guys came into it. And what's interesting, what I know so far, right? If you could check out in LinkedIn, Claire and both Miko, no? But Claire's actually a lawyer by profession, but MIS graduate by her bachelor's degree. Miko, I think you're also MIS. You're also MIS as well. I guess you were classmates at Ateneo, and that's how you guys met up.
One match apart.
Okay. So tell us a bit more. How did this come about? I understand that you were doing IT work, right? Or you had an IT company that you put together, and which eventually led to this one. Tell us a bit more about that one.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
I'll start. We actually created an IT company while in college. Started as a racket then because we wanted extra money as students, and then we could continue it all the way after graduation. So we created this website and app. At that time, wala pang app, but website development team. We started that as a company, but we actually started that as us really doing the work, where Claire was the designer, and then I was the programmer. So we actually started how we're doing Parlon as well, or how we started Parlon as from the bottom. We didn't start, not that it's bad, but we didn't have like the capital to actually start hiring. So we did, you know, the legwork first. We built a team, and then come 2019 when the company is actually running on its own already. Obviously we're there to watch things, but, Claire was like, I think it's time for us to make another company. And then I'm really, you know, I've been really wanting to make Parlon. So Claire pitched me the idea of, you know, of Parlon. She had to educate me with, you know, your questions as well, like how big is the market? Because, you know, it's another company that we're trying to build. We're going to borrow resources from our company. I mean, from our web development, you know, to actually self-fund our journey in Parlon, because we didn't want to ask investors yet. We think that we could actually do it, you know, in-house, fund it ourselves. You know, Claire does the selling, I do the programming again, like how we started it. But then we have the backing of, you know, our IT services company. So there, that's when I actually immersed myself with the beauty industry. That's where I actually, you know, searched for, you know, what balayage actually means. Now I actually know that.
What does it mean for the benefit of us who are ignorant?
Yeah, it's about the hair and the color, like that. Yeah.
Okay. So please continue.
Yeah. So that's how, I guess that's how we actually were able to build something, because we have previous and a lot of experience with actually building tech products even before. So it's like actually doing it for yourself is it's just a difference, like doing it for a client versus doing it for yourself. If you're doing it for yourself, you're your own client, and you don't have to actually, you know, interview the client. You have it down to your head, and then you can actually start doing the work already. So we kind of have all the background we needed to bootstrap this parlance.
So technically, it was bootstrapped because you were just using internal resources of the company.
Yes.
That's right. So, and Claire, when you were, I guess, no, I want to go back to Miko's story earlier on, because I'm imagining that you felt the urge that you needed to create your own app from the country for Concept Machine that was yours. But was part of the first idea that came to mind for you, or were you having competing ideas, or were you really just passionate about doing this for the salon industry because you saw the opportunity?
No, ever since college, this was my idea. I parked this idea for years, like college, law school. Why on earth? Why you can't book online? You can book food already. You can buy everything. Why not salon and wellness services? Of course, I cannot launch it during law school. So when I passed the bar 2017, and okay, 2 years after 2019, we decided our company Concept Machine, we're sufficient already. Can stand on its own, and we can, of course, as founders, you need to be hyper focused in startup already. So 2019 was the perfect time to launch something on our own. But to answer that question, since college, since law school, I wanted this app already.
Yeah, I can see that's you know, Miko must have been convinced from years of intuitive research into the salon industry.
She's been dropping hints even before we started Parlons. Like, I want something that's for beauty. 2012 pa lang, 2013 pa lang. She's already dropping it. It's not a surprise.
She was planting the seeds already there for you. Now, how did you start it off? I'm just curious. I mean, I understand how you can start it off from a coding and programming standpoint because you're quite there. But then, Claire, to actually go out and start onboarding salons on your concept, because of course, parang binate test mo muna yan, diba? Before the product's actually there, right? How do you start onboarding salons to say, you know, I mean, technically, who are you, diba? Who are you to come to me and then make me part of your app? How did you start convincing these salons, especially since these are traditional salons, they aren't really tech savvy companies, diba?
Yeah, so I started with my favorite salons. So I pitched during my salon sessions, like literally while you're doing my hair. You know, I just brought a brochure, no app yet. You know, I want to list you. I need to list your service menu. I can't find it online. So like, for example, I started with Basement, with Emphasis Salon, with Bra House, with Strip, and everything follows. So of course, the first five, I think it started with like the salons I go to. And of course, I cannot stop there. There's only like less than 10 salons I go to in my life, right? So after that one, I did the cold calls. So I tried searching for interesting salons and of course, cold calling, like sending an Instagram and literally door to door, like go there, can I ask the name of your marketing supervisor or marketing manager? And can I ask for the email? And I've said this so many times. I've been seen zoned a lot, like, you know, you'll cold call, your cold pitch. And the difficult part is, unlike food industry, food tech, you can like easily refer. Oh, it's like Food Panda. But now the challenge is we're somehow the first, like for salon and wellness services, coming from a traditional standpoint, right? It's hard to explain what you are building.
You started building it in 2019. When in 2019 did you start building this?
Mm-hmm. So I think I started approaching salon March. Then we were able to launch like July, like with 20 salons.
20 salons. So great. You got 20 salons in, you launched already. During that period of time, right, when you were putting it up, and of course, all startup owners go through this one. Was there a point where it came to you na parang, I don't think I can do this because, you know, you're doing, you know, you've got Concept Machine running and you've got your law work going. You go, okay, I can just give this up. It's too difficult. Did those points ever come to you while you were trying to get this app going, trying to bring people on board?
Yes.
What was that point for you?
Yes, there were sad moments, especially if you're seen alone. Like, you know, they won't respond if just to be onboarded. But, you know, as I mentioned, there's no option to fail. I just eat ramen, ice cream, and just rise up again and approach a new salon, another salon.
And how about you, Miko? Because they pitched the idea to you. So how were you like? Were you? I mean, I could see the passion coming from Claire because it's really an idea that's been with her since 2012. But how about for you? How was it like for you when you know, riding aboard, you weren't too sure how the app would go, but syempre, partner mo yan. How was it like for you?
Yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat my answer. What we talked about was we'll start developing and we'll start allocating resources once there's interest and initial traction, which means that we're not going to start, you know, coding without initial signups.
Okay.
So Claire, that's why Claire was saying that she was selling it without anything yet, without even a beta.
I see now. Okay.
We're selling it with a brochure like that. And then once she says, oh, my 20 na ako, and it's like, okay, then I don't have it. Like, shut up. And I'll make that. That's it. I'll make the system. I have a lot of material to see, because then from a programming standpoint, you don't want to just be, you know, you just don't want to be focused on one. If you have 20 use cases, then actually you can see a lot of, I don't know, you can actually program and to make it scale. So that's how we approached it. She sold first, brought home 20 clients, and then we programmed.
Wow. How was it like when you got your first salon partner on board and you could see the app there? How did it feel like for you?
For me,
Claire,
okay. Well, actually, we celebrated the launch by actually launching in Rice Conference in New York. In Hong Kong.
Wow.
In Hong Kong. So we joined the startup conference in Hong Kong.
Rice. 2019. Akala ko yung Manipedi, Bicol.
That's ano na. It's normal.
And then, Claire, how was it like when you got your first client who booked over here on the site? I'm sure you still remember your first client over here on Parlon.
Yes, I jumped for joy and encoded, I myself encoded the menu. And one of the first would be Basement Salon Emphasis Bra House Trip. Until now, they're still our very valued client. So yeah, very exciting. And that's the beginning. Like once you have, I always tell this to my students, once you have that like first five, it's going to be harder, but it's the start.
Very happy for you guys. But now the reason I was asking why it went in 2019. So it was early 2019 when COVID was still not too much, not in our radar just yet. And all of a sudden, March 2020 hits. That's all of us across. And, you know, I'm sure it impacted all our businesses. What happened with you guys, with Parlon? And how did you guys adjust? Of course, we know what happened, that nobody could go to salons. Mm-hmm. Nobody could go to food markets like mine, mm-hmm. right? So what did you guys do? How did you initially affected and how did you, I guess, pivot or adjust to that situation? Please, Miko, go ahead.
I'll tell half the story and then Claire gets the nicer one. So 2020 was when the pandemic happened, right? So when we launched in 2019, all the site was just really a catalog. So there's no transaction yet. It's just more for people to view. So if I wanted to go to, let's say, for example, to see the prices of the 20 salons, it's there. So there's no money generating transactions yet. It's just more to get into the market and actually say, okay, we're live. And then, you know, we can use that to sell to more clients. Mm-hmm. Obviously when the salons, when pandemic started, things halted because then salons started to close. And then they're not in any way, I guess, you know, the talks of us actually onboarding salons actually stopped. The sad thing there is actually we were actually about to launch March, because it was at the pandemic. We were about to launch Booking. That was the platform that was a function we were developing already. So let's say we launched in 2019 as a catalog. We were developing our Booking, and then right then we were ready to launch and pilot Booking March, and then the pandemic happened, so it had to stop. So so Claire's going to explain what she did on, you know, on the messaging side, but on the tech side, that's where we actually gathered the team, and then we beefed up all of the things that we actually wanted to create without any, you know, like with full force, just because, you know, the pandemic is there and then we have all the resources in the world to actually pour and create. So we wanted, like, once the pandemic actually stopped, we wanted to have the marketplace, we wanted to have the e-commerce, we wanted to have the Booking. So we actually juiced up the platform. And then once, you know, November came in, we like, bam, we're actually much bigger tech-wise than, you know, we were a year ago, something like that. So Claire can actually explain the non-tech part of it.
So basically, we're able to accelerate the development of the app. You took the time to develop, to work on the, I mean, and like a tech guy, you were spoken like a true tech guy. You spent the time to do acceleration and create the app over there. Okay. But knowing that, no, I hope you don't mind me going a bit more into that one. You spent, let's say, between March to October or November developing the app. But how about the financial runway? Was it, did Concept Machine have enough of the, I guess, internal resources to do that one? Did your other clients continue to use you during that time, so you were able to continue working for them and producing and accelerating the development of the Parlon app?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Concept Machine is still there. So of course, we needed our own money also to fund all these because it's not just about tech, right? So yeah, Concept Machine supporting Parlon, and at the same time, what we earn, our savings, and what we earn also from Concept Machine, some we pour into Parlon as well. So that's why it's kind of self-funded.
So you literally bootstrapped yourself. So it wasn't just the use of resources of the company, but your own.
Yeah.
And I know, guys, I feel you there. I feel you there exactly. Where you bought these company resources and personal resources, especially during the pandemic, to keep things going. And I have to say, bravo to you, Miko, if you put in your own money there as well to make sure this work. Kasi bilip ko kay Claire kung ganyan.
Yeah, and I believe us idea, and then you know the platform we created.
Oh, great! That's really great to hear, and Claire. What did you have to do during that time? I'm sure you're going nakatiwangwang yung idea. Technically nakatiwangwang, eh, di ba? If you think about it, during that time. So, what did you guys do for Parlon from March to November?
So yeah, I clearly remember that time. Miko mentioned March 2020. We were about to launch our first e-commerce and booking stint, the Women's Month. So we all know what happened in like March 14, 2020. Everything stopped. So okay, close again, that booking and e-commerce. So okay, we thought that, you know, pandemic will stop. Okay, 2 weeks lang to, 2 months lang to, 3 months. Then apparently 2 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, yeah, I remember.
Like we're waiting for the perfect timing to launch everything like our team is building in terms of product-wise. And number one problem with the beauty and wellness industry, we cannot make noise like, uy, magpasalon ka, mababash ka, because it was tagged as not essential. But what we did during 2020 and 2021, sabi ko, you know, but we cannot be silent. So what we did in Parlon is share the beautiful stories of the salon owners, how they survive and thrive. So we launched our online magazine, glowgetter.parlon.ph. So I myself, like this guy, but not live. So I interviewed salon owners and create long-form articles for them. So those stories usually highlight food, right? Restaurants, suffering, but not salon. So we lend the voice to what's happening with the salon industry. So we waited for that perfect timing to launch. So sabi ko, naho, October na or September, makailan ba talaga tayo magla-launch? But sabi ko, November 2021, finally. No, we need to get this product out already. Ang dami nang nagawa ng team nila, Miko. So finally, bravely, November 2021, we launched the Beauty Festival. First online beauty festival for the Philippines. So we started selling deals already. At first, I thought, hala, baka walang sumaling salon. But apparently, we were able to gather more than 20 salons. They're very excited to join the beauty festival. And sabi nga nung iba, Claire, baliw ka ba? We don't know yet if you know, magla-lockdown ulit, you know. But sabi ko, no, at least we end the year bringing back the glory to the salon. And i-warm up na natin yung mga tao 2022. Magpaganda na tayo. So there, starting November, we started monetizing already and started selling deals. And lahat ng nakatagong product and features nila Miko, linabas natin ng November 2021.
Wow. And just right now, after, I guess, how many months? Maybe 6 or 7 months if you guys actually running since November 2021. Can you just give me an idea of how many people have transacted on the app? How many deals have been made already so far?
Yeah, of course, thousands have transacted. And maraming excited magpaganda. So there's this beauty revenge also. So good deals is now we're actually expanding, accelerating. More deals are coming up. So what you see now in Parlon, that will definitely double, triple, or probably hopefully times 10 in startup world, right? Especially now that we just onboarded our BDs. I'm not alone now already. So before that, I onboarded the 80 salons. Now I'm with four girls plus one social media strategist helping me spread the word. Like that program nila Miko, that product, it will be, it will not do justice if walang mag-champion yan. So now the BDs, they're watching now, they're doing great. And so far, I'm filled with meetings, new salons. So from 80, definitely it will increase. So one of the things, so we launched Grab and the partnership with Super Apps, right? So GCash, Grab, we partnered already for that for home service. And this May, we will be launching a big thing with GLife and GCash. Probably Miko can tell you more about that one.
Yeah. So what's fun is actually we're able to actually integrate with a lot of like the Super Apps and what Claire's saying. So we integrated with Grab and we're also integrating with GCash. So it's different use cases like with GCash And you can go to G Life, and then, well, it's not yet there, but we're going live. And then you can see individual brands and salons, and then you can buy inside GCash Parlon deals. With Grab, you can go to Grab Mart, and then you can go salon services, and then the salon will go to your house.
Wow.
Like that. So yeah. So it's home service. You can, it's like buying food lang in Grab, but actually it's like you're buying haircut, and then the stylist will go to your house, and then.
Fantastic.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
And it's different because, you know, before, I guess it's the age of collab when you can really say to yourself now, okay, I can work with Grab to help me create this Grab salon. Because technically, before you'd say, I'll develop everything myself and I won't work with people like that. But now this is actually this. Like in my own experience, I run Mercato, right? And for Mercato, we have a Mercato Hybrid Cloud Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And for that Hybrid Cloud Kitchen, instead of saying, you know, I'm going to do all the delivery myself or take care of everything myself, we're working with actually Grab to create, you know, to work together with their own Grab kitchens to build a larger network. But that's one of the things that came out right now, that, you know, after this pandemic, the trend is that nobody's really a competitor nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like there's always nice ways to come up with strategic collaborations, strategic partnerships, moving forward. Talking about moving forward, you did say that you were bootstrapping. And for people who are not too clear on the term bootstrapping, that just means that you're using money out of your own pockets to fund things. You did say offline when we started talking that you were bootstrapping plus you had some angel investors. Are these angel investors family, friends, that you may have loved ones putting their money in? Are there actual people now you don't know, or just acquaintances who put money in already?
Mm-hmm. So they're friends, but actually they're putting a fund. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell the name already, but they've invested to like more than 3 promising startups already. So yeah, so friends, then eventually they're putting up a fund.
A small fund that we're friends with, basically.
Great. And so you're still doing angel investors. Will you be what's the goal for you next, Claire? Do you plan to enter an incubator for you guys? Do you start startup incubators? Do you plan to get Series A funding or pre-Series A funding to further grow your business, or do you plan to still keep it just use internal funding or what you have right now to grow the business?
Of course, our dream, probably internal funding, will not cut it. So we're planning to raise funds before the end of the year or probably Q1 2022. We want to validate it more. And of course, this industry is somehow unique because it just like came alive again. So like we're just buying more time and probably raise funds. Yeah, we've been in touch like with VCs already. We've been meeting people already. They're like watching us already. So hopefully we'll get to raise funds by the end of the year or first Q1 of 2023. Not Forever Bootstrap.
Okay. And Forever Bootstrap, I know. And I'm my wife just came in right now. She's looking forward to checking out the great deals that she can get from Parlon. What's the deal again, so that she can overhear lang? What's the special offer we have over here? So for people who want to get, again, the promo code is RJ Ledesma Podcast 200. You get 200 pesos off on a minimum of 1,500 spend until May 8th. Just visit deals.parlon.ph. Like I said, no health, well, wellness or like beauty and wellness. No, your industry, it's a growing industry. I'm sure from with your perspective, you're seeing things that are happening from a macro and both a micro perspective. What do you see are the emerging opportunities, Claire, in the beauty industry where entrepreneurs can still play in? And what also emerging in terms of, you know, this new sort of like e-commerce ecosystem for beauty that's emerging as well, that might become big in the next couple of years. What are you seeing, Claire? Mm-hmm.
So for Parlon, so we started as a marketplace. As I mentioned, now we're in an ecosystem like connected, not just in Parlon, but with multiple apps. Our next level would be, of course, we're studying this more. You know this, RJ, like the startup world is all about validation and checking the market. So we're like in that ecosystem already. Probably we're aspiring also to be a fintech app for beauty, because one of the things like payment, accelerating payments, and probably our gab. So like I want to consolidate all the beauty and wellness purchases in one app, like through a fintech, beauty fintech. And probably one more, again, we're still studying this. One, the grab would be probably our entrance. If you have dark kitchens, cloud kitchens, probably next would be dark salons, cloud salons.
I love that idea. Wow, that's a fantastic idea. That's a really great idea. Cloud salons, mm-hmm. Diba?
Yeah.
Or online salons. No need for people to, you can just offer the best services possible, create a cloud salon and, you know, just send them over to your house. Just,
yes.
Wow, that's great. I think that's a fantastic idea. Fantastic idea. Wow. Mika, what are you seeing as well as opportunities that have been emerging here?
Yeah, actually, I'm very happy that Claire mentioned fintech, because again, on the tech side, I'm excited to actually code and make technical, you know, integrations with a lot of like payments. I think Claire didn't mention, I mean, Parlon Pay is something that we're really thinking about, like consolidating everything and thinking about like a digital wallet for anything in beauty and wellness. And then, you know, you can actually have points, you can actually, you know, have cashbacks. All of that stuff are still in the drawing board, but very, very excited to actually get into that.
Mm-hmm. And we're regulated by DSP. And we have an OPS license, by the way.
I'm sure you made sure that attorney on Kanko before we started getting into this one. So it's great you got IT na tech pa, di ba? Abogado pa. So great combination over here. Now it's been quite a wild ride, I guess, now from college to Concept Machine to putting up Parlon.ph. There are many people who are going down the same road as you right now, or have gone down the same road as you. What can you share with the other entrepreneurs and future business owners listening here right now? Maybe some life and business lessons that you can teach them so that they can hack their way towards success and they don't stumble as much as you guys did, so that, you know, they can stand on your shoulders. Claire, for you, what are the three of the biggest things that you picked up that you want to share with people as a result of your own entrepreneurial journey?
So back in college, we had an article in Entrep Magazine, Laway at Laptop lang ang puhunan. No, of course, we have this beautiful education from Ateneo. But, you know, back then, it's literally, we squat in Starbucks. Katipunan, we didn't have office back then. Laptop and laway lang ang puhunan. But so I think three lessons would be be resourceful. Be resourceful, be creative. And appreciate your education and your skills. And probably number two would be, don't easily give up. As I've said, if I just got sad when I got things zoned, there's not going to be Parlon here now. And probably last would be delayed gratification. Of course, it's not always instant to win. It's not like an instant hit for an app or a website or for any business, right? So you learn and scale, and probably be humble enough to acknowledge learnings and probably just rise up again and apply that learning for the next day.
Bravo. Great learnings from you. Miko, what are your own learnings?
Yeah. A lot of learnings. I don't want to actually be to advise other entrepreneurs, because I know that, you know, they're on the same boat as well. But I guess like what I can say is that I hope that other entrepreneurs as well, that I actually really found what I'm made of, because it's really, really a rough, rough ride. Entrepreneurship, there's a lot of weight you're carrying, just because, you know, there's a lot of factors, there's a lot of stakeholders. I realized that, you know, what's hard, 5 years ago, that's just like, it's harder down there. It's always harder. Like it will just really, really make you stronger all the time. So what I'm going to say is, I guess, kapit lang, you know, fight it. You're going to really know what you're made of. Just keep pushing. And the other thing is, I do not want to discount the presence of opportunity. I don't want to say luck, but I guess a good opportunity coming your way, and actually making the most out of that opportunity, because there are a lot of, you know, really, really good I don't say like breaks, but really, really good instances where we saw that as, oh, wait a minute, let's make the most out of this. And then it grew into something. So just watch out for that in, you know, along the way in the journey, because it can actually explode.
Yeah. Watch out for those little, you know, side streets that might turn into an actual opportunity, yeah, I guess. That's for many of us, right? I remember before when we were talking with Roland Ross of Kumu, mm-hmm. and you know what, when their financial runway was almost gone and the app was running, and they figured out that the live streaming portion of the app, the video portion, was the most important one that people were looking for. And then mm-hmm. when they made that pivot at the last point, that's when the app started to take off. And you know, that's really some of the big learnings that we often get as entrepreneurs. But like you said, now just keep at it. And if you're passionate about, and if you know, you retest yourself, you see how far you can go. And from there, you know, if you're passionate about it, just like Claire was and is, no, you're going to get somewhere. And again, thanks so much for sharing your story here, guys. Let's just show them one more time. If you want to get a Parloan right now, all you have to do is just go on the Google or Apple Play Store. You can download them over there on Apple and Google Play Store. And one last time for those listening, sayang naman yung promo natin up to Mother's Day. Special sure promo one time, RG Ledesma Podcast, 200 pesos off for a minimum spend of 1,500 today until May 8. Just visit deals.parloan.ph. Again, thanks so much, Attorney Claire and Miko Cornejo. Good luck with your own entrepreneurial journey. Looking forward to you guys becoming the next FinTech for Beauty in the next few years. Again, this is the RJ Ledesma Podcast. We'll see you guys in the next podcast. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.